But I'll leave that up to you.
We're just going to need a minute.
Okay.
We're going to see if we can get a
PowerPoint. Okay. Okay. We'll take a 5-minute break. We are ready to resume. Okay. Okay. And Mr. Seitz, did you want a 15-minute heads up, or was it 25?
15.
15. Okay. All right. Okay, we will now turn to the CSD's closing arguments. Mr. Seitz?
Right. And before you start, I'm not going to be arguing here. I've passed out to every board member our closing our exhibits on our PowerPoint, and I think the prosecution team
Do you have a copy, Ms. Oken?
Okay. Also has our exhibits, and by the way, they're the same exhibits that are going to be up here on the PowerPoint, except there's one document that's going to be out of order. I think 7 is actually going to be 3, just to give you a heads up if you're going to follow along. And now I'm ready to begin.
Okay. I'm sorry, just to be clear, did you state that all of these documents were already elsewhere in the record? None of them are new, right?
There is. 7 is a new document, which is just a picture of the county. So I want to make sure that there's
no... But aside from that, the rest of them are in the record? Okay. That's
yes.
A yes. Okay, thank you.
I'm starting the clock. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board, prosecution staff, and the audience. First of all, I want you to be assured that we are not going to be using a PowerPoint to overstate testimony. We're going to show you actual documents. Second, it's disingenuous for the prosecution team to stipulate that the Bay Ridge and Vista del Oro and the fire department are the only discharges that you can be held accountable for, and then go right through the entire litany of their closing argument based on a basin-wide violation of 00131. The settlement that they proposed, I like the format, but if it was applied to Vista del Oro, clean up Vista del Oro, clean up Bay Ridge, and clean up the fire department with a time schedule, because that's what everybody has stipulated to, is that we're responsible for. Now we're off on these million-dollar fines based on failure to do a project that treats the entire town. As to the issue on points and authorities, that I haven't given you any, in my responsive pleadings, in the answer to the complaint, I cited Article 13 of the California Constitution and Government Code Section 50076 for the proposition that you can't willy-nilly switch funds from the fire department to the sewer department, from the water department to the sewer department. I want you to know that is the law. Our challenge is based on the application of TSO 00131 and the application of 8313. We are not stipulating that it's the application of those that we are contesting. The idea that these are valid orders, maybe, maybe not, we're going to find that out. But what we're contesting here is how they are applied to this particular situation. And secondly, we have put the assets in mind or in at issue. For those opening comments, I want to go to 80. This is 8413. All I can tell you, this is the State Water Resource Control Board resolution that actually amended the basin plan. The prohibition enunciated by that is found in here. It's the second column, last phrase. I'll just read it in the record. Discharges of waste from individual and community sewer disposal systems are prohibited effective November 1st, 1988, in the Los Osos Baywood area, and more particularly described as, and that's slide number two, the prohibition zone. That is what we would call, as lawyers, an in rem action. It is prohibiting property from being used in a particular way, and that is to discharge waste into the aquifers. It is also predicated on a public nuisance, because the discharges from these septic systems tend to migrate off of the property. That's the predication. If you take a look at the findings of both 8313 and 8413, you can't come to a different conclusion that this is an in rem issue. And therefore, the district can only be responsible for its discharges, how it operates its properties on behalf of its citizens. It cannot be held responsible as a prosecution team would allege. More importantly, if I can have slide number seven. When 8313 was formed, it was basically the paradigm on 8313 or 8413, depending whether you go to the state water, was based on a paradigm of the residents within the prohibition zone, the property owners within the prohibition zone that were violating 8313, and the County of San Luis Obispo and this Regional Water Quality Control Board. That looks off, but my engineer tells me it's because it includes the ocean. So just sort of keep in mind, we know that Los Osos isn't inland. The issue there is clear, that you had a paradigm with a county that was elected, had a five-member board that sat up in San Luis Obispo, and the pack was between the regional board, the folks within the property owners within the prohibition zone, and the County of San Luis Obispo. The folks in the prohibition zone or the folks in the community, whether the registered voters or et cetera, had very little influence on the county because it was a regional government. They could only elect or participate in electing District 2 supervisor. Otherwise, the other four were impervious to elections, recalls, et cetera. That was the paradigm. When 8313 was enacted, the Coastal Commission, I don't even believe, was in existence. The regulatory framework of putting in a wastewater treatment project was virtually non-existent, other than, as we all know, we got big grants to do it. Next slide, please. Whoops. Oh, no, you're back to, I'm sorry, it should be six. When the district was formed, that paradigm shifted dramatically. The prohibition zone is shown in white. The total district boundary and the voters changed, sorry, is in the orange there. The paradigm shifted dramatically. The voters, the registered voters now within the district, elected the administrators of Regional Water Quality Control Board orders. It wasn't the county electing them, it was the voters within the district that elected them. That paradigm shifted. The paradigm shifted from a registered voter base that was local control to for an issue with the property owners within the prohibition zone and the Regional Water Quality Control Board. A dramatic paradigm shift on how to develop a project. No one, the regional board in enacting 00131 or any of these orders, ever recognized that paradigm shift in how. And it is a paradigm shift that you are going to have to address if you want to see a wastewater treatment project in Los Osos. The idea of fining these types of issues isn't going to provide you with the basis where you're going to get a consensus between the registered voters, the property owners within that district. You have choices to make, but when you sit back in closed session, you think, how am I achieving water quality? If you don't consider the paradigm that is up there on that thing, how am I going to do it? How am I going to get the people in the orange in sync with the people in the white? Because they all elect the same five voters. I'm sorry, the same five board members. And not only that, there are property owners within the prohibition zone that don't even live in the prohibition zone. Not only that, there are properties within the prohibition zone that aren't violating 8313 because they're vacant. That is the paradigm that you need to address. It's the very paradigm that 00131 ignores. 100% total. And if you think that fining somebody is going to shift that paradigm, I think you're mistaken. Everybody in that district boundary has to have an equal stake in seeing this wastewater whatever wastewater treatment project is going to move forward. Whether you expand the prohibition zone so that it's district-wide, 85, AB 885, or your own inherent powers, if you don't implement a paradigm shift on how this governmental agency actually interacts between its voters and this project and the prohibition zone, we will be here again. I want you to really seriously consider the dramatic difference between the county's project when 8313 was enacted and those cease and desist orders and all those things. Big difference. Next slide, please. No, I think it's document number 8. Part of that paradigm is how the Los Osos Community Service District actually interacts with its different zones of benefit. You saw this slide as part of our case in chief. The point of it is that it's these Zone E. Oh, I bought this too, just for this purpose. This and the fire department are the ones that are violating the 8313. These folks and these folks pay, those are the folks that pay the district to discharge. Those are the people that are on the hook for whatever fines you come up with based on their discharge to the groundwater basin. And I think you heard it was 140 residential units from someplace, from Mr. Beal, I think 60 from the other one. The fire department provides fire service total district-wide, which means that they provide service to people within the prohibition zone and people outside the prohibition zone. They provide service to folks that aren't violating 8313, and they provide service to folks that are violating 8313 with their septage. When you take a look, that's why I've been so strong on this. These are the folks that are violating the discharge. It's this little zone of benefit. It's this little zone of benefit. It's this fire department. The issue that we keep hearing about property taxes being, well, they can do something with the property taxes. You had direct testimony that 99.9% of that goes to the fire department. So what are you telling the residents of Los Osos? You have a discharge at your fire department that can probably be cleaned up very easily because it's a very limited septic system, and now we're just going to levy $1 million, $2 million, $12 million fine for the entire prohibition zone against the fire department? These folks, when you take a look at that 11307 and you start thinking about the effect on health and safety of this community on what your staff is proposing that you do, or the effects on E and F up here without a time schedule to fix it, the very same time schedule you've offered every other zone, including E and F when the county had the project, to fix these issues that you perceive is violating your own State Water Resource Control Board policies that tell you that cease and desist orders and cleanup and abatement orders with timelines are the applicable avenue for cleaning up prohibitions, violations of prohibitions. And I can read them to you, but I don't think I have the time. But if you're going to carry those policies in there, if I have time at the end, I will reflect on it.
Mr. Suds, could I just interrupt you just quickly?
No.
Because I thought I heard testimony that there are cease and desist orders applicable against those entities that you're speaking of.
When we get to that, that is, we queried that 1,000 times, and we have statements in from your prosecution team, and we're going to provide you a document that those cease and desist orders are not the subject of this ACL complaint. Staff hasn't told you that. Staff hasn't argued these cease and desist orders because they know that there's a document in our files, in their administrative record, that specifically states those cease and desist orders are stale. And we're going to show you that document. Can you see the next slide, please? This gives you the reserve balances in these accounts. And remember, we're talking about the Vista Del Oro account, $19,000. We're talking about the fire fund that had $669,000. Mr. Buell testified as to what that money is used for. And you had the Bay Ridge Estates, $31,624,000. Does anybody here think that you're going to use assessment district money from the prohibition zone that have no relationship or an on and off relationship with these zones of benefit for their alleged violations, and they're going to be charged? You're going to fine the entire district for you really think that you're going to take assessment district money from all the folks in the assessment district, even though they don't live in Bay Ridge, they don't live in Vista Del Oro, and you're going to say, well, they got money, they paid their lawyers, they got this, they did that, they got this. That money isn't Bay Ridge estate money, and it's certainly not Vista Del Oro money, and it's certainly not fire department money. It's just, we ask for these stipulations as to what are we being liable for, and we keep hearing it's these discharges. Next slide, please. What makes this more complicated and why I keep coming back to this, because we talk about the water department. Well, the water department just got some money because they settled an MTBE violation. That's going to clean up MTB issues and water contamination. So let's not give it to the fire department. Let's transfer it over to the sewer department. I want you to know, take a look at how many water departments operate in the prohibition zone. 3. That's the District 1, this is Cal Cities, and this is S&T. Next slide, please. Here's 00131. And if I can go to, we're on, oh, by the way, this is slide 11. I keep getting so excited. If you take a look on paragraph 13, and it's 11 in your packet. 13 says, the civil penalty established by this order, $10,000 per day, a violation of the time schedule, is established in an amount necessary to achieve compliance and does not include any amount intended for to redress previous violations. Here's the kicker. The amount is necessary to achieve compliance in light of the project's cost, estimated at $70 million. Again, what staff is asking you to do is to apply a total project cost in a time schedule order of $70 million to these 3 uses of septic tanks. And they keep telling, we keep wondering, where are you getting this? How can you go from, they said, this isn't prohibition-oriented, it's project-oriented towards these 3 operations. Yet the very penalties, $10,000 per day, isn't based on the discharge from Bay Ridge, Vista Del Oro, or anybody else. It's primarily based on us not constructing a wastewater treatment project. That's 83-0031. paragraph 13. First, secondly of all, it's uncontradicted testimony that R00131 was based on the timeline for the State Water Resource Control Board loan. Let's not lose track of that. It was not based on a stipulated agreement. And I'm going to show you the next slide. If you can go back up to slide 15, please. This is the minutes. When this board adopted 00131, the board did conduct a special meeting or an adjourned meeting so that the board members could be present at this meeting. And what I want to point out to you, what this says is, number one, President Bowker and Gary Grimm added testimony in support of revising the cease and desist orders. The cease and desist orders at Bay Ridge, the cease and desist orders at the fire department, the cease and desist orders that were at the Vista del Oro in Bay Ridge, and not adopting 00131. This whole idea that there was some type of agreement, that this was all hunky-dory, is refuted directly by this slide. And going up to, again, it's repeated right here. Gary Grimm urged the Regional Water Quality Control Board not to adopt 00131 since LOCSD was already highly motivated. Executive Officer Briggs recommended that RWQCB adopt Order 0131 as a new layer of direct to the LOCSD on the theory that existing cease and desist orders had become stale. The district has always had a position that if the Regional Water Quality Control Board was indeed interested in these cease and desist orders, that they should have been expanded. Understand this, that at the time 00131 was ordered, the district had already submitted a plan, the Oswald plan, that was a step system that would have complied with those existing cease and desist orders. Now, it may have had objections, and there may have been things to have worked out, and your staff may not have been as happy because it didn't sewer the entire prohibition zone. It only sewered the lower ones. But the district had the ability at that time to comply with those cease and desist orders. Don't lose fact of that one. Don't lose sight of that one fact. Next slide, please. And additionally, the district filed a petition, by the way, with the State Water Resources Control Board immediately after that. Now, what's interesting about this, this is a letter, this is from your files, and you can see your administrative record file. This is document 16. This is a letter in February 7th, 2003, from the State Water Resources Control Board saying, we're going to extend your loan. You might recall that the county had this loan from the State Water Resources Control Board before the district was formed, and the district negotiated with the State Water Resources Control Board to transfer that loan over to the district. This is the letter saying February 7th, the loan is extended. At that point in time, it was incumbent upon this board and your staff to extend 00131, predicated on the State Water Resource Control Board loan commitment. They change, you should have changed. Next slide. This is a letter from Bruce Buell, and if I can go to the next, it's all, this is document, you can see the document number, it's document 17. If I can go to 18, please. This is the second page. This is Mr. Buell to the Regional Water Quality Control Board regarding time schedule order 00131. The time schedule is out of date due to delays beyond the reasonable control of the district and should be modified at the appropriate time. Next document, please. This is the February 2003 Regional Water Quality Control Board staff report. You know what's interesting about that? That's your waste discharge requirements. And these folks are trying to tell you to find them back to 2002. That's your staff report. Not only that, this is a staff report to a matter that was litigated. We didn't have a discharge permit for a year and a half later as a result of the Cal Cities litigation that challenged your waste discharge permit. But the most important thing is page 20. And if you take a look at page 20, and it's this paragraph right here. This is in response to Mr. Buell's request for an extension. The time schedule order enforces the CSD's obligation to proceed with design and construction of the system. The regional board will make a determination regarding the time schedule order compliance at a separate proceeding. The district's expectation, and what Mr. Briggs is telling you, is that, hey, we are not... there's no way they can comply with this. There's no way. It's an impossibility. We're going to come back and we're going to amend TSO 100131 so it's reality-based and not myth-based, not based on some idea, well, if they do this one, then we won't find you. If we do this one, that's not the purpose of time schedule orders. It's to set out milestones for project completion, realistic ones. Then, if they don't meet the realistic ones, then you fine them. It's not this mythical thing of pushing these things out in the future and say, well, you don't meet these hypothetical future ones, then we're going to fine you. It's backwards. Absolutely backwards. Now, and it's backwards for a lot of reasons. But from that point on, it became impossible for the Los Osos Community Service District to ever comply with 00131. It was never going to happen. The construction was supposed to occur a year before this. And it was litigation. But to put a governmental agency in a spot of saying, this continual threat, this continual hammer, with nothing in front of them to achieve, except for a threat, if you don't achieve something, we're going to come back and find you. And that's the position they put you in here today. Furthermore, I'm going to read to you, I usually don't do this, some civil code sections regarding enforcing impossibilities. This is civil code section 3526. Responsible for unavoidable occurrences. No man is responsible for that which no man can control. 3531, impossibilities. The law never requires an impossibility. From that point on, we were in an impossible. It was impossible for us to comply with the timelines. Those timelines in 00131 should have been amended. It is the application of 00131 that upsets us the most. Now, on October 2005, the Regional Water Quality Control Board initiates an ACL complaint charging allegations are a violation of 00131. Now, we know that at that time, now we know that that complaint was directed at the discharges of Vista del Oro, Bay Ridge, and the fire department. And that the violation of the prohibition zone discharges of 8313 from these three discharges. We know that the fines under 00131 that staff is trying to enforce aren't related to Bay Ridge, Vista del Oro. They're related to the district's failure to build a wastewater treatment project. If you recall, That's the $10,000 per day fine based on the $70 million wastewater treatment project. It's not designed, it's not predicated on cleaning up Bay Ridge, Vista Del Oro, and the fire department. In fact, the district had previously submitted such a document that would have accomplished that. And then now we're talking about well, we can sell Tri-W, and we can get these millions of dollars, and we can I don't even want to go into the next one. We can sell Broderson and get these millions of dollars. The Prohibition Zone bought those properties. It wasn't Vista Del Oro that bought those properties. Those are folks that don't live in Vista Del Oro. Those are folks that don't have, are not illegally discharging under 8313. They don't live in Bay Ridge. They are provided service through the fire department, but their fire department only has a minuscule septic tank, and they service areas much broader than the Prohibition Zone. So just a non-starter. They say, well, we have this settlement from the Regional Water Quality Control. I mean, that's not the settlement. This SRF funding. Again, its root source is the Prohibition Zone. That is the return of assessment district money. It is not this panoply of spend it where we want, spend it where you can. And even to the extent that you object to the district's expenditure of that money, does it make it available to you? That is between the district, the State Water Resources Control Board, and its assessment district. You're not in that mix. You're just not in that mix for the discharges of Bay Ridge, Vista Del Oro, and the fire department. What you have, it's in that mix, is those fundings. You have in that mix the availability with certain compliance requirements of raising fees and charges within Bay Ridge for the fire department, if that's really what you think is in the best interest. Understanding that paradigm that I showed you at the very beginning of this presentation. This is slide number 9 again, please. There. Can the district raise fees in Bay Ridge to put in some type of hybrid sewer system if that's really what you're interested in? Yes. Let me say this. Most likely, yes. It was so litigious that I would say most likely, yes. Vista Del Oro, do they have the ability to raise fire taxes? Yeah, if you want them to raise fire taxes, I would suggest to you that from the fire department, there may be much simpler ways of addressing that issue, because that septic tank only provides septic effluent for the fire department. It's not even residential. It's a fire department. My guess is there's much more economical ways than having a hybrid system up there. This deserves a time schedule. This deserves a cleanup and abatement order, or a cease and desist order. It deserves the community and these folks in these various zones an opportunity to address it, just like you've done in the past. Next slide, please. I think it's 21. Here's some of the questions from the board. If the board agrees to impose a fine against the CSD, could the CSD use SRF funds to pay it? Your staff, no. Backed up by Ann Hartridge. This is slide 21. Los Osos Community Service District's response, not quite as lengthy, but same thing. Payment of fines is not an eligible cost under the SRF loan contracts. It goes right back to this. This SRF money is Prohibition Zone money. It's assessment district money. Next slide, please. This is slide 22. What are CSD's options for paying potential ACL fine? Can they increase the assessment Would an increase in the assessment have to go before the voters? Regional Water Quality Control Board prosecution team's response, yes. Our response, yes. And if you take a look and you note down at the bottom of this slide 21, we also add this, what we've been talking about here today. Vacant parcels within the prohibition zone are not violating RWQCB Order 8313, and the owners of those vacant parcels would also vote on an increase in the assessment. In other words, when you start thinking about using prohibition zone money, understand this. You are using money from folks that aren't violating 8313. Next slide, please. This is the prohibition zone. And the reason why I wanted this slide up here is because it shows you within these parameters, this is slide 23, the vacant properties that aren't discharging to the underlying groundwater basin, and they are significant. The idea of saying, we're going to take their money, and we're going to pay for Vista del Oro, and we're going to pay for the fire department, and we're going to, remember, the fire department's up here and is servicing this area. It's just, it's inappropriate to do that. These folks here have paid into that prohibitions, paid the assessments, have gone to buy the Tri-W site, that have gone to pay those things that the SRF loan wouldn't commit to, and it's those folks that are being reimbursed the monies from the SRF. The only conclusion you can reach is these folks are not, these folks in here cannot be held responsible for Vista del Oro, Bay Ridge, or the fire department. When you go in, I hope that you can take a worksheet with 11327 with you. Because one of the questions is, what are the discharges acceptable to cleanup or abatement? The answer to that is yes. Vista del Oro, Bay Ridge, and the fire department are susceptible to cleanup and abatement. We've proven it in the past. We submitted a plan. You have continually asked for that through cease and desist orders, cleanup and abatement orders. There's nothing to believe, unless, again, your staff wants to convince you that it's this and not these discharges that are that you're concerned about. The ability to pay, we've put that directly at issue. The effect on the ability to continue in business, as we have pointed out that through our budgets, and we need to go back to slide nine. There's the ability to pay. The effect on the ability to continue in business. Staff has If Bay Ridge Estates, the fire department, and Vista del Oro are run as a business, they have their separate budgets, and the ability to exact $1 million worth of fines payable immediately. There's $31,000, there's $669,000, and there's $19,700. Remember the paradigm that you are operating in when you think about the Los Osos Community Services District. Any voluntary cleanup taken? Yes. In 2000, we offered the original Oswald report before 00131 came out that would have sewered these. Now, staff makes this deal. Well, they haven't tried it lately. Well, folks, we've spent $25 million trying to do a project that's now failed, and we're not here to stipulate to that. But my guess is if Mr. Briggs would have saw us building some type of plant to service Bay Ridge and Vista del Oro, you would have had an ACL complaint before you at that time, lickety-split, because he would have said, you're diverting money from the Prohibition Zone cleanup. Understand the paradigm. Prior history is a violation, you bet. It goes back to 1983. And we're not here to argue that 8313 isn't a good, legitimate order. What we're telling you, or we're trying to convince you of, is that under the paradigm of the Los Osos Community Service District, the paradigm of enforcing orders like this on a population base that is bifurcated between property owners, registered voters, and people that don't live in the Prohibition Zone is a non-starter. You need to get these people in sync. You need to come up with a strategy to...
You're at the 15-minute warning.
This is going to work out pretty good. The next one. The degree of culpability, economic benefit, or savings resulting from the violation. I've heard of convoluted arguments on how the district is saving money by spending money. The district is not saving money by this. In fact, we're losing money. We're losing money by being here. We're losing money by not having our efforts directed at trying to reach a solution to this problem. We are losing money. But it's not an economic benefit. This money isn't drifting back into the coffers. This isn't a private industry where you can say ABX Corporation is operating in the Prohibition Zone and they're operating a terrible discharge system, and because they're operating that terrible discharge system, their coffers, they got more money in profits, more money for their shareholders. That's not how this works. We're losing money. And the idea that us losing money and saving money on a future project is an economic benefit to the district, how stretched do you have to go to make that argument? Way out there. Way out there. We are not saving a dime. We are spending money being here. We are spending money daily. The idea that we're being enriched as a result of this unfortunate term of events is just, to me, beyond comprehension that anybody could make that argument. And it should be beyond your comprehension to accept it. And next one, other matters as justice may require. Very quickly here. State Water Resource Control Board Water Quality Enforcement Policy. Section IV, Enforcement Action. Section C, Subsection 4. Cleanup and Abatement Order, CAOs, are adopted pursuant to the California Water Code, Section 13304. CAOs may be used to any person who has discharged or discharges waste into the waters of the state in violation of any waste discharge requirement or other order of prohibition. State Water Resource Control Board Water Quality Enforcement Policy, Section 4, Section C, Subsection 7. Cease and desist orders are adopted pursuant to California Water Code, Section 13301 and 13303. CDOs may be issued to dischargers violating or threatening to violate WDRs or prohibitions prescribed by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I don't think your prosecution team is I hate to use the word evildoers, but whatever you think, I don't think that. I think that that offer of settlement was genuine, that was up there. If it would be an offer that said, look, we're really interested in you cleaning up those three discharges that we've all said that we're interested in cleaning up, and came up with a time schedule where the regional board and staff, and they get together and come up with a time schedule and a methodology of getting those discharges cleaned up, I think you're going to find absolute cooperation between the district and your staff to do it. But to go back and say, clean up the entire basin, ignores the paradigm. Completely ignores the paradigm. You need to shift that paradigm with the district. You need to get the entire district, the people in the white and the people in the orange, on the same page. You will always be faced with a significant voter population that has no financial interest in this project. Thank you. I know, this is...
Thank you. You're at 43, and so you've got, I think, up to what, 53? Another 10 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As I said, my name is Steve Onstad, and I'm fairly new to this, but in a past life with the Department of Toxic Substances Control, I'm fairly familiar with the process, and I do understand the difficulty that you have to go through in weighing this. I'm going to make 3 points. I'm not going to repeat what Mr. Seitz said, except that we specifically designed our closing arguments to present you with documents, with case law, as opposed to what you've seen so far from the prosecution's closing, which was a PowerPoint that had no exhibits attached to it and was basically interpretations of what was said. A lot's been said about my first point, and that's the due process argument. And when I came to this case about November 17th, the first thing I did is I looked at the ACL, of course, and then I went to the website, the Water Board's website, because the first step in due process is that every governmental entity is supposed to follow its own rules. And I did that. And I was very pleased to see for December 1st and 2nd attached to the agenda a conduct of meeting and hearing procedures, one of which, item I, says that all board files, exhibits, and agenda material pertaining to items on this agenda are hereby part of the record. Now, that's why when we asked for documents to be brought into the record via incorporation, we relied on the Water Board's posted rules with regards to that, at least as they were dated December 1st and 2nd of 2005. Of course, the prosecution's response was, well, we weren't specific enough, but as I read this, it's pretty clear that Water Board files on this matter are part of the record. The second thing that I noticed with joy was item D, that said, late submissions that consist of evidence will generally be deemed prejudicial unless all designated parties have had time to consider the evidence before the meeting. And to me, that Water Board rule adopted by this board was absolutely and perfectly consistent with the regulation that governs all of the boards statewide, which is 648.4A. It is the policy of the state and the regional boards to discourage the introduction of surprise testimony and exhibits. It goes to the very fundamental concept of fairness in these proceedings. A $10 million fine upon a governmental entity is at issue here, and there was 2 months to prepare, and even after December 1st when this hearing began, a number of ruling changes that I think we're all in this room could agree that there was surprise evidence and documents that were introduced all the way up until today. The second point that I want to make alludes to the concept of fining. Now, in reviewing the transcripts from December 2nd, the chair posed a question to Mr. Seitz saying, are there any cases out there that say if you impose a fine that's too onerous, it's reversed, or that addresses the issue? And Mr. Seitz on the spot said that he didn't know of one, and there isn't one. There is not one that pertains to regional quality control boards or even the state board. But there is one on due process. And the case is called Walsh v. Kirby. I have copies for all the board members and the prosecution team. It's not evidence. It's a case law, and it's by our Supreme Court. And in that case, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board reversed the decision, the Supreme Court reversed the decision of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board because the control board was only authorized pursuant to statute to impose penalties to achieve compliance, not to be punitive. And what the board actually did, it was in the concept of fair trade, went way beyond what the statute allowed, and the Supreme Court had no problem finding that the board acted beyond its authority and therefore annulled the decision. The two quotes that I'll give you, and again, you can take this into closed session with you because it is law, it's not evidence. When a governmental entity vested with broad administrative powers acts in an arbitrary manner so as to affect capriciously the property or property rights of persons subjected to its administrative controls, it has denied to those persons due process of law. Quote number two. The foregoing discloses that the section is not intended merely to exact tribute for the general fund or by the imposition of insurmountable financial burdens to punish or eliminate a licensee who is in default. However, discretion cannot be exercised so as to enlarge its own boundaries or support acts requiring other legal bases. Even within legal limits, the power is not unbridled. It is a legal discretion to be exercised in conformity with the spirit of the law and the manner to subserve and not to impede or defeat the ends of substantial justice. It is evident that the purposes of the statute are further frustrated by the imposition of heavy cumulative penalties upon a retailer when such penalties are used as weapons. That is a violation of due process when the legislature specifically proscribes such activities. The power vested by the statute is indeed perverted when the department utilizes its tools to do indirectly that which is directly and expressly prohibited. And I will come back to that in a moment.
Mr. Onstad, which statute are you referring to? It's not a water code statute, is it?
No. This case is the Supreme Court making rulings on due process issues in the context of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board.
Right, okay.
Okay, the facts are completely different, but the law is the same because you also are faced now with a statute that says that you can't impose punitive penalties.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is there any dollar amount that you think this board could impose that would not violate due process?
No.
So you're saying any penalty would violate due process?
In this case, yes, based upon the reasons Mr. Seitz stated.
Okay, thank you.
All the monies that are available are allocated or restricted to someplace else. There's not the ability to pay the fines.
I don't want to argue with co-counsel because I believe he's correct. But when you go back to those budgets, there's 31,000. I mean, if you really want to shut the business down, I mean, you've got to wrestle with this issue. There's roughly 31,000 in Bay Ridge. If you really want to deplete the fire department. Remember Mr. Buell testified to the use of those monies? Those are for emergencies. If you want to take the emergency money away from the fire department, you got about $600,000. If you want to take away replacement and emergency from Vista del Oro, you got $19,720. If you want to take away the emergency reserves from the Bay Ridge Estates, you got $31,624. I submit to you that those monies are much more appropriate to clean up in abatement orders or cease and desist orders to get those discharges cleaned up, not sitting around here taking these monies away. And remember, that's sewer, street lighting, and drainage. That's just not sewer that is up there in those budgets.
So my third point that I got when I first looked at this case is, why are we here? If the purpose is to get money out of the district, I think that's been foreclosed. If the purpose is to achieve compliance, I think that's been foreclosed too, for a number of reasons, from testimony regarding the water board staff's unwillingness to talk and meet with us starting in October, all the way to the point of not commenting on some proposed amendments to the time schedule order. So what is the big picture and what is the objective here? And if you go through all of your notes, there is one thread where everything makes sense. And that is staff's intent to mandate construction of a wastewater treatment facility at the Tri-W site. If you look at all of their presentation, if you look at what is in the record, it all goes to that. Even my question to Mr. Briggs. Because what happened was Roger Briggs and Lori Okun lost the election. The next day, according to that email, the ACL was on Mr. Briggs' desk. He testified it was in October, based upon the new district boards, suspension of work. Either he was not telling the truth then, or his email that I confronted him with told the truth. The day after the election, that ACL complaint came out. It was before the certification of the election, before there was a board. And if you don't have a board, you can't have an agenda. And if you can't have an agenda, you can't have a proposed action to suspend work. Now, everybody knows, especially the board members, I'm sure, with regards to the prohibition set forth in Water Code Section 13360 that says no waste discharge requirement or other order of a regional board shall specify the design, location, type of construction, or particular manner in which compliance may be had with that requirement, order, or decree, and the person so ordered shall be permitted to comply with the order in any lawful manner. Your counsel and your executive officer have been advocating Tri-W for a long time. They testified in court they were deposed on it. That is no secret. But when the law says that you can't mandate something like construction of a wastewater treatment plant at a particular site, I'll go back and quote the Walsh case that I'll give you.
Okay. You
last sentence.
Have used your time up. I'll give you a minute just to wrap it up. Okay. Thank you.
The power vested by the statute is indeed perverted when the department utilizes its tools to do indirectly that which it is directly and expressly prohibited. This proceeding, the only way it makes sense, is an attempt by staff to coerce construction at the Tri-W site. Even Mr. Briggs' last slide up there said that. He wants Tri-W. You cannot use enforcement proceedings to circumvent the statute in the water code that says you cannot mandate construction or a certain mode to get to an end. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. That then concludes the district's closing argument, and we'll go back to prosecution staff for any rebuttal. And then that will conclude this portion of the hearing and the board